for you. So we're going to get into the Word of God this morning. How's that sound? Good. We're going to continue in our series, and it is going to hit a Mother's Day message. It may take a little while to get there, so mothers, we will get to that. But we are going to do a message titled "A Walk to Remember." Now we're in our God's Word, the Better Story series, where we're taking the titles of Hollywood movies, and they have a title and they have a movie, and they've spent millions, and we believe that God's Word has the better story to go with that title. And "A Walk to Remember" was a movie few years back now, I think in 2002, if I'm not mistaken, when it came out. It was a love story of two teenagers who fall in love. One was Landon. His name was Landon Carter, and he's the guy in the community that's the every guy wants to be like him, and he's well known, and he sets up a prank for this other boy, and it goes bad, and he gets himself in trouble. And for one of his punishments and corrections for that, he has to do some volunteer hours, be part of the school play, and his mom makes him go to church, where he is introduced to a young lady named Jamie Sullivan, who is in the choir of the church and is the pastor's daughter. And she's also a part of the school play that he has to be in, and they eventually fall in love, and as they're talking with each other, and she's talking about her life, she mentions a list of things she'd like to accomplish in her life, and she shares that with him, and throughout the story, he begins helping her complete those, and the last one was that she wanted to get married one day, and in the church that her mom grew up in, who is no longer living. And so through a series of different things that happen, he begins trying to help make those things a reality. One was she loved looking at the stars, and he names the star after her. And when he builds the telescope, he proposes to her. And she has leukemia. And so they get married, and she walks down the aisle. Her dad marries them. That's her walk to remember. And then we're left to assume that sometime that summer she passes on and he goes on to be a medical doctor. And all the women in the movies are crying. And it's a very emotional movie. And that was her walk to remember. That wedding day was her walk to remember. And I think God's Word, as moving as that story was, I think there's a better walk to remember. And that is a walk that we can have that's not just down an aisle, but it's down an aisle with Jesus and being married to Him and knowing Him and being a follower of Jesus Christ. And the walk to remember is one of a life that is walked with God. And so if you would stand with me for the honor of reading God's Word, we're going to read a rather long passage this morning in Luke chapter 24, starting with verse 13. Luke 24, verse 13. This is Jesus has been crucified, he has been resurrected, and there's two gentlemen walking on the road to Emmaus, and he appears to them. This is that account. "That very day, two of them were going into a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all the things that had happened. And while they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, 'What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?' And they stood looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, 'Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?' And he said to them, 'What things?' And they said to him, 'Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen the visions of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, this is now Jesus speaking, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going, and he acted as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, saying, Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent. So he went in to stay with them, and when he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. And they said to each other, Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that we have an opportunity, Lord, to walk with you. And Father, I pray that this morning that we would have a walk to remember, that we would live a life of faithfulness to you, Lord. And God, that our hearts would burn with the passion and the desire to follow after you and to serve you and to tell of your good news. Father, I pray for everyone here this morning, those who know you, that they would draw closer to you. And Father, the man or the woman here today that may have never taken that step of faith, that today you would open up their eyes to see you for who you truly are. I'm going to preach plain and clear today. I do understand the judgment on my life and rightly dividing your word of truth, and I accept that place. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray, and his name that I preach. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, as these two disciples were walking on the road, they encountered Jesus. And in this encounter with Jesus, Jesus began explaining to them himself through the Word of God and revealed that. He opened up their eyes to see him for who he was. And they had this holy burn within them. And this holy desire, this burning that they felt, motivated them that they had to go tell somebody about what they had encountered. How many of y'all realize that when you truly encounter the Lord, he will change you from the inside? He puts a burning inside of you that urges you and compels you to go and share and tell. They couldn't contain it. He had set inside them a flame that couldn't be contained. And they went out and immediately told those 11 disciples, hey, we saw the risen Jesus. They went out and shared it. When you encounter Jesus, you can't help but tell somebody what he's done for you. Amen. So they go and they share what God's done, and they're together, and Jesus then appears to them once again. And we see in Acts verse 44, it says, Then he said to them, this is Jesus, These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. He says, I told you this. I was telling you this. I was explaining this to you. That everything that's in that in the sacred writings and in the book of the law and the prophets and the Psalms, that was about me, and I was going to fulfill that. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Y'all realize we got to have the Holy Spirit open up our minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, Thus it is written, that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are what? Witnesses of these things, and behold, he says, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. He says, I'm going to send you out. And that's exactly what happened. We read the book of Acts. They're waiting. The Holy Spirit falls upon them. Jesus tells them in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You're going to go share about me the truth of God's word. And that's exactly what they did. They began preaching and teaching and sharing, and the apostles began declaring the good news of Jesus, and people were getting saved, churches were being started, they were gathering together, they were fellowshipping with one another, they were worshiping God together, they had true fellowship, they were generous, and they were giving of each other's time, and they were experiencing a move of God, that the church was birthed and God's Spirit was moving, and people were coming to know Jesus and beginning their walk to remember. Do you have a walk to remember? Have you started your journey of faith with Jesus? If not, guess what? Today is going to be a good day to start that. And they begin walking with Jesus and sharing him. And we see people coming to know the Lord. And there's this one man named Saul who got converted. And he was at the stoning of Stephen one day. There was a man full of the Holy Spirit proclaiming and preaching to the Jewish people. And they got so upset at his message that they began stoning him. And it says that Stephen looked up into heaven. He saw the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. That's Jesus. I believe he gave him a standing ovation and said, "Good job, Stephen. Way to go. You have a walk to remember. I see you. You're not forgotten." And they stone him and they kill him. And Saul was there at that moment. And on his way to Damascus, he had an encounter with God. And his life was forever changed. God changed his name to Paul, and he became a church planter and an apostle for the Lord Jesus Christ and began sharing the gospel. And he started his walk to remember. And through that engagement, we know that women were being touched and saved and changed by the gospel. Other men were being touched and saved by the gospel. And we're introduced to a young man by the name of Timothy in Acts chapter 16, verse 1. It says this: "Paul came also to Derbe and Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek." Here we go. Have a set. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. We're introduced to a man by the name of Timothy. And in Acts, it specifically tells us that his mom was a believer. She was Jewish. She was a Jewish convert. She was a Christian. And she had married a Gentile, a non-believer. Okay? And we're never told that Timothy's father ever was a believer. So he more than likely grew up in a home where his mom was a believer, but his dad wasn't. But his mom had a profound impact in his life. And it wasn't just his mom, but it was his grandmother as well that influenced young Timothy. And so when Paul is writing a letter to young Timothy, who is a minister of the gospel, and fanning the flame and continuing the mission, continuing the walk of following Jesus, he writes to him in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, and he says this: "I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well." Now let's just pause right there and think about that. Think about the beauty of this. When young Timothy was a little child, he had a mother and a grandmother that nurtured him into the things of God. Moms, grandmothers, the best thing that you can do for your child is to train them up and teach them who Jesus is. To pray for them, to raise them up into the faith, to lay that foundation for them, to lay down the sincere love for Jesus and his church, and to follow him and to be sold out for him and to grow up to follow him. And how you do that is through your instructions, but it's through your life. It's your life living out your faith and showing to your children and having a walk to remember. You know, to have that legacy to where your sons and daughters can look back and say, "You know what? My mother, Boy, she was a godly lady. And she taught me the things that really mattered in life. My grandmother, she was a godly lady. And she taught me the things of God in life. I'm glad and I'm thankful that I have that legacy. I'm glad that I have grandmothers who love the Lord. One's now with the Lord now. One's still living. And both of them were women of faith who loved the Lord and would instill that value. I'm glad that I have a mother who brought me to church and taught me what it means to be a believer. I'm glad that I have that legacy, and I hope that you have that as well. And some of you may be older now, and you're thinking, well, gosh, I didn't lay that foundation for my kids. Well, guess what? If you're a grandmother now, you have an opportunity to lay that into your grandkids. Amen? Because it was the grandmother and the mother that influenced young Timothy. I think of my cousins this morning. It's going to be a rough day for them. And I know it's a rough day for some of you because your mother is no longer here. She's passed on. I think of my Aunt Nancy who modeled a life of faith. And she had a walk to remember, one where her kids and her grandkids can look at her and say, she taught me what it meant to be a follower of Jesus. You see, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, when Paul is admonishing Timothy that he can trust the Scripture, that the Scripture is the Word of God, he reminds him once again, but he says, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from you have whom you have learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Notice what he says, remember, you awaken what was put into you at a young age by your mom and grandmother. I'm thankful that I'm married to a mom who does this with her children. That Michelle invests in the life of our kids, and she makes sure that Caleb and Micah know that the most important thing is that they know the Lord Jesus and that they live for Him. And she loves teaching children's church. And I thank all the women in our church who invest in the lives of our children here in this church. How important that is. You realize how important that is? She loves that she gets all the stuff ready for children's church every week so that the teachers can come in and they can just pour out in the kids. And she understands the value and the importance that at a young age, you've got to develop that and lay that foundation that kids get that understanding of who Jesus is. Moms, grandparents, make sure that you're instilling in your children, your grandchildren, that love for the Lord, that love for His church, that love to follow Him and to live their faith for Him and model that through your life. I have kind of an upper hand on most of you all in Bible reading because my job requires me to read the Bible, right? So in order to develop sermons and get messages, I've got to read the Bible, okay? But I also try to read the Bible in just devotional time apart from sermon prep time. Okay, and so my goal this year has been to read through the Psalms and the Proverbs as many times as I can. Okay, that's my goal. Throughout this year, I'm focusing on the Psalms and the Proverbs and trying to read them through as many times as I can. And when you read through Proverbs, you can't help but notice that, you know, the father and the mother are laying down foundations for children. And in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8, it says this, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teachings. For they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. They are a reward for you." Okay? "Do not forsake your mother's instruction." Okay? And so we got to think, so what are some things that we notice? Here's the first most important thing. If you want to jot some of this stuff down, here are some just thoughts of things that you can invest in the life of your children. Number one, as a mom, grandparent, and then as a dad, granddad, aunt, uncle, for everybody. This is for everybody, not just moms and grandmothers. But pray for the salvation of your children. You need to pray for the salvation of your children. And then when they come to know the Lord, then you begin disciplining them and discipling them into what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Model for them a life of faithfulness and instruct them to know and to love and carry out a life of faith. Speak faith into them. Encourage them. Instruct them in the ways of God. Now, as I read through Proverbs, there's several things that just kind of jump out and highlight of instruction. And I just want to run through some of those. And these are some ideas that we can have. In Proverbs, we're noted that it is important to instruct our kids to have the fear of God. Okay? The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, the Bible says. And in our day and age, it seems like, oh, nobody respects anybody. There is a health to a reverential, holy fear. Okay? Let's take something practical, all right? Electricity. I have a fear of electricity because I'm not an electrician. And so if I ever have to do some type of electrical work, I fear it enough to know that if I place my hands on wires and I touch things that I'm not supposed to be touching, I could be knocked back really quick, right? The fear of electricity keeps me from doing dumb things. Can I hear an amen? Amen. The fear of God will keep you from doing dumb things. Can I hear an amen? To have a holy, reverent fear of an almighty and all-knowing and holy God. Instill the reverential fear and awe and respect of the Lord God Almighty into your kids. Amen? Another thing I see through the book of Proverbs is to teach your children to have a strong work ethic. If you read through the book of Proverbs, it is clear that it is important to have a strong work ethic and not be lazy. It talks about laziness often in Proverbs and speaks of the importance of being diligent and having a good work ethic. So that means, parents, you don't do everything for your children. You give them responsibilities. At certain ages, they should begin taking on tasks. Okay? Don't give them allowance. Give them commission. Give them a job. Make them work. And if they work, guess what? They get paid. If they don't work, guess what? They don't get paid. You ain't the government. You're the parents. And so you invest in them this work ethic, cleaning their rooms, fixing their own lunch. When they get in high school, they should know how to do their own laundry. So that when they come home from college, they don't have two bags of stinky clothes and they say, "Here you go, Mom." They can do it themselves. Set their own alarm, get themselves up, have a job, be diligent. Teach them the value of hard work. Okay, you got that? Here's some other things that Proverbs talks about. Character and integrity. That you are a person who lets their yes be yes, their no be no, and you are who you are all the time. Mothers, if you want to have a walk to remember, leave a legacy where your kids and grandkids, it is going to be seeing a woman of faith who lives their life out consistently and does not compromise in their morals and standards and has true character, love, and grace, and integrity. It's important that you do the right thing, even if no one sees you doing the right thing. See, we all want a good reputation. We want people to think good of us. So when I'm in front of people, I'll behave. But what do you do when nobody else is around? It's easy to look like a Christian here, but what about when you're off on your own? Are you living a life of integrity and character? Another thing I noticed in Proverbs that we need to lay into our kids, that they need to be a giver and not a taker. When you read through the book of Proverbs, you can't help but notice that it says, the generous man or woman will be blessed. The person who gives will be blessed. The person who does not, who will give to the poor and help those who are in need of help, they are blessed. We are to be, as people of God, we are to be people who are blessers, not takers. That we bless people, that we are givers and not consumers. And so we should teach our kids not to expect everybody to give them something, but they should grow up thinking, how can I be a blessing to someone else? Read through the book of Proverbs. That's huge. And wouldn't that be a breath of fresh air in this day and time? When we're all asking, what can people do for me? And get that out and say, hey, what can I do for you? How can I help you? How can I bless you? How can I help others? Also, it talks about, and we need to, and mothers and grandparents, raise this into your children, grandmothers and fathers, everyone, that you are to never take advantage of someone just because you have a position over them or the power to do so. Even if you have the ability to take advantage of someone, you don't do it. You treat everyone as if they are the Lord Jesus himself. You don't harm anyone. You don't belittle anyone. You treat everyone with respect and dignity. It's often it talks about unjust balance scales. You don't rip people off. You treat people the way you'd want to be treated. Okay? That's biblical. Do unto others as you'd have them do to you. And still in that, high moral standards of sexual integrity. You got to lay that down. That's the parent's job, not the school's job, by the way. You know, I don't really need the school to teach my kids about sex education. I'll handle that. You teach them reading, writing, and math. Can I hear an amen? I tell you, you missed it. You blew it. That was a perfect time to say amen, and you didn't. But you lay down and you teach them morality. Comes from you, mom, dad. Who's that little girl gonna grow up, and when she gets to marry, she's gonna be looking at that dad, her daddy, as the model for her husband. So dads, what kind of example are you setting at home? Mom's that boy that's in your home. He's looking up. What does a woman of God really look like? What he sees in you that's what he's going to look for in a wife. You better be setting you some standards. And the last thing I noticed in Proverbs is this: true friendships. True friendships. The importance of establishing healthy friendships can mean the difference between life and death. Now, we are to be friendly with all people, right? We can be friendly to all people, but we're not best friends with everybody. You see, that there's a difference. Be friendly to everyone. Treat everyone with respect, dignity. But there's only a few people that I'm true friends with. And my true friends, guess what? They're going to be they're walking on the same path that I'm going. They want to get to the same destination that I want to go to. Because if I don't have good, healthy friendships that have the same goals and dreams and desires as me, guess what? I'll get veered off track. And instead of my life going where I want it to go, it'll end up going where they want it to go, and it'll go into a dead end. And so we got to teach our kids how to have wisdom and discernment between having true friends. And all you teenagers out there right now, here's what you say and here's what you think. Your parents, if you have Christian parents, listen to them. Listen to them. If they warn you about an individual, listen to them. But here's what you say. Oh, you know, my parents, they're stupid. They don't know anything. It's the teenage disease. Okay? You act like you know it all, but you don't. Parents, I'm done helping you. If you ain't going to give me an amen on that, then that's it. That's it. That's it. I'm you're on your own. You're on your own. I'm trying to throw out some good stuff, and you're just sitting there. But you act like your parents don't know anything. They do. You know why? They've already walked that road.
Amen.
There you go. Thank you, brother. They don't want you to make a bad decision, because let me tell you something. You are one bad decision from ruining your life. You really are. You really are. That's how important it is to surround yourself with the right influences. Now, you're friendly and you reach out and to everyone. And if you can pull somebody on your path and get them to where you're going, great. But don't you dare let them take you off of your path and put them on theirs. You see, Paul encouraged Timothy to remember what he had learned. That the faith that was instilled in him at a young age. He says, for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. What's he saying? That flame that was starting, that was laid down to you by your mother and your grandmother, man, let it burn. Flame it. Let the fire burn. Let it grow. Let it consume you. Let it spread. Tell other people. Let the faith in you become a reality that goes out of you, that influences others around you. Go be that witness for the Lord Jesus. Go allow him to change you from the inside out so that it impacts everyone that's around you. Fan that flame of passion. Did our hearts not burn within us? The two from the road of Emmaus said. Fan into flame. Why? Because we want a walk to remember. A walk to remember. Moms, grandmothers, dads, grandfathers, aunts, cousins, uncles, whatever category you fall in, that we would live a life in such a way that those that we have influenced in our life, they can say, man, they showed me what a man of God looked like. They showed me what a woman of faith looks like. And then we speak into their life and we say, keep it going. Keep it going. Keep the flame going. Keep the flame going. Keep it moving. Keep the gospel as front and center of your life. What do you think? Allow Jesus to be consumed in you to where your life is lived in full out devotion to your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Father, this morning, we come to you, and we have people from different aspects right now in their faith journey, different places in their faith journey. There's some of us, Lord, this morning who know you. We know you as Lord and Savior, but maybe for some reason, the fire inside our soul has gotten dim. It's gotten low. And so, Father, I pray that if that fits someone here this morning, that their love and passion for you has kind of died out, that you would send the wind of your Holy Spirit to blow in their life and get the embers of faith hot again and get that flame stirred again so that they would be the man or woman of God you've called them to be. So, Lord, I pray for those individuals who maybe the fire's kind of gone down. Lord, for those who have that faith, that desire burning in their soul, would you continue to help them to live out their faith? Lord, there may be a man or a woman here today, they've never started their journey of faith. They've thought about it. They've even talked about it. But they've never acted. They've never stepped out and said, Lord Jesus, save me. I'm a sinner. I need your grace. I believe you died for me and you rose again. Come into my life. Be Lord of my life. Lord, there's someone today that has never done that. They've never confessed you and called upon you. Would you open up their eyes today? Would you open up their heart today? Lord, would you enable them to step out and receive you by faith and say, Lord Jesus, be my Lord. God, would you save today? Help us all to have a walk to remember, one that glorifies you and honors you, Lord. And I thank you for all the mothers here this morning and the grandmothers here and great-grandmothers, Lord. And I pray that they would speak into their kids and their grandkids your truth, your life, your love. For it's in Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. Let's stand. Let's sing. Let's respond. Let's come. Whatever God's calling and stirring in your heart, would you fan that flame? And don't let it go out. Let's respond.